get you out of here in a reasonable time. We're going to use a baseball theme this morning for our to put me in coach as our, well, I guess basically up here, it's not on the front of your packet, but to put me in coach as our volunteer training. So I just want to thank you all, first of all, for coming. This is an important way that our church can be proactive, that we can care for not only the kids that are here, but for you all as volunteers. We have such amazing volunteers here, and I hear that so often in the community and from other churches. Like, how do you guys do it? How do you put on these programs and get people to actually serve? And I'm just so thankful for all of you because we are able to do things like VBS and Trunk or Treat, where the whole church basically comes together and serves. But as volunteers here, we want to make the experience as good as we can for you so that you are blessed and prepared to serve the kids of our church. You can read through on your packet the first page. I'm not going to go through the entire thing together. This is yours to keep, so you can write in it, or if you think of questions while we're going, feel free to write in that. If you turn over, I don't know if I put this up here. Let's see. Is that the right one? All right, so when I was preparing for this, I found our logo and mission statement. This is something that Jen had done years ago, and although I knew what Wired stood for, this was just a good reminder for me, so I wanted to share it with you as well, that we use Wired as our children's ministry. It's what we call our Wednesday night program, but it also kind of encompasses the whole children's ministry at Bethel. And it says up there, Wired Kids Ministry believes that kids are wired to bring God glory and exist to assist them in living lives that worship God, instruct them in the Bible, provide opportunities for them to reach out to other kids, equip them to serve in ministry, and disciple them towards spiritual maturity. So with all of our kids' programs that we have here, this is our mission statement. It just helps, I think, to kind of get everybody on the same page as we are talking this morning. On the back of that, you see kind of some a top 10 list. And these are just some good reminders for volunteers, or I know we have some youth here. They are great servants of this church. So just some good habits to get into as you start to serve. The first one is to be prepared and on time. If you're serving in the nursery and you get here at 9:15, that's not a great way to serve our families. If you're here a few minutes early, then you're there welcoming those kids. The parents feel comfortable dropping them off and getting in here. So just a reminder to be prepared and ready when you are volunteering to serve. The same with number two, to just kind of clean up your area afterwards. Don't think if you're serving from a certain time that right when it's over you leave, just to pick up briefly. And everybody does a great job of this, but just some reminders. Number three is one that is invaluable to me as kind of the leader of the volunteers, that if you are scheduled to serve at all throughout the year, and this goes for teens, if you've committed to Josh that you're going to help serve at an event, if you can't, if you're able to find your own sub, that is a huge blessing. Like, I'll get texts sometimes on a Saturday like, hey, I can't be there in the nursery tomorrow, but so-and-so is covering for me. Or in mom-to-mom childcare, you know, we have a sub list. If you're able to find your own sub and just let us know, that takes kind of the pressure off of us doing all of that. If you can't find a sub, obviously contact me, or if it's something Josh is doing, contact him, and we will take care of it. But if you can find your own sub and just let us know, that helps things run smoothly. Number four, be engaged. If you can refrain from using your cell phone or other things and actually be down in working with the kids, it's such a short time that you are with them, even if they are playing, to just get down there at their level. They love, especially in our twos and threes, they'll let you play babies with them in kitchen, and they just love that. So just kind of an encouragement that we don't want to just sit back and babysit them, but we want to engage with them as much as we can. Number five, stay in touch. If you have blessings, praises, we kind of focus on that during our week of VBS. We love to hear those, but let's do it throughout the year. If you've had an encouraging moment with a child or a great conversation, share that with us. The same way as if there's ways that we can pray for you. If there's a way you're serving and it's been a struggle, or if there's some thing that you need, make sure that you keep in touch and let me know, because I'm here to help you as a volunteer. Number six, stay in groups of three. And this is something we're going to talk about a little later, but it's just kind of a catchy way to remember, if you have one adult with two kids or two adults with one kid, to try as often as you can not to just be one-on-one. Number 7, follow the script, but be flexible. Obviously, we're providing you with good biblical curriculum, but if something's not working, try it in a different way. Try connecting with the kids in a different way, but keep the biblical content the same. Number 8 is pray for the children that you serve. If you think of them throughout the week, pray for them. Or maybe you're not currently serving in a way because something prohibits that, but you can pray. And we will take all the prayer we can get for the kids that are growing up here and for the volunteers and for the program itself. Number 9 is get fed yourself. Good teaching comes from an overflow of your heart, and we ask that all volunteers regularly attend. So if you're serving in Sunday school, come Wednesday night and go to a class. Or if you're, you know, serving at Mom to Mom, make sure you're still coming here regularly. We want you to be fed so that out of your love for Jesus and out of your learning, you're teaching the kids. And the last one is just to have fun. Let the kids see your excitement and your passion for God. All right, so we are going to use the acronym PLAY to kind of touch on 4 areas this morning. And as you're going throughout your year, you can remember these. So the P is going to be to protect. And when we're talking about that, we put together a safety policy and procedure to help protect our kids and you as volunteers. And so we're going to flip over, I believe it is, to page 10. Which is kind of toward the back, but this allows some procedures, some policies, and it starts right at the top. Why do we need a safety policy? Number 1, we want to provide our children and youth in our care a safe and secure environment. This goes from the people who are serving, but also just are our rooms as safe as they can be? Is our church as safe as it can be? Number 2, we have a biblical command to keep our children and youth safe. And number 3, we need to protect our volunteers against false allegations of abuse. So again, as we go through these, these are kind of the whys that we're answering. So as volunteers, what is required of you? And you can see there, it says consent to run a background check. Complete the background check authorization, pass with no red flags, attend training on the church policy and procedures, and regularly attend Bethel Bible Church. To teach a class, you must also be a member. And then as a church, what are our responsibilities? We will provide you with the background check authorization. We will keep all the information confidential. And the forms that you fill out, I know sometimes it's, you know, you're giving your social security number, your driver's license number, and you know, you might think, why do you really need that? We want to be proactive with the safety that we have in place for our kids so that we can tell people that come in. You know, we have moms that bring their kids here for Mom to Mom that don't know anybody here. And it can be kind of scary at first, like, why am I trusting these people with my kids? But we can tell them, you know, we have these safety things in place. We're not running background checks just as something that we can check off. We're trying to do that in, you know, in a way that will cover what needs to be done without going kind of over the deep end. And I'm working with Sheriff Richwine to try to do those here in the county. We don't have everything worked out, so I'm not exactly sure when those will get done. But in the past, we worked with a company who ran them. And the way they do it now, they would charge $30 per background check, and it's way more extensive than what we need for our church here. So that's kind of why we're going away from that. And I'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. But just so that you know that between Tom, Josh, and I, that we were the only ones that would see that we are going to keep it confidential. They've been locked in a filing cabinet in the office. We're also going to conduct training, instructing volunteers on the policy and procedures, which we're doing today, supervise volunteers, review the policy and procedures, and then collect and maintain updated medical information on the kids. Just kind of continuing down, and you can read through some of this. Child abuse does happen. Unfortunately, there is sin in the world, and that it's sad and it's hard when it happens with kids, whether it's at home or in another place. Hopefully that would never happen here. You can read just some of the statistics there. But we as a church, and when we are teaching kids here, whether they are Bethel kids or whether they're outside kids that have maybe been bused here or brought here, it's our job to provide them with a safe place. But also, if we suspect there may be abuse, it's our job to report that. And if you would ever have a question or if any kid would ever make a statement, just make sure that you are being proactive and that you tell myself or tell Josh, and we will take care of reporting that. because of the job that I am in, I am a mandatory reporter. And so even if we suspect it, it's my job then to make sure that the proper people are notified. So if there would ever be anything said by a student or a kid here, all you need to do is tell me and then I will take care of that. But don't just, let it go if you think there might be something there. We have accidents and incidences that happen. We have an incident report, and I have this clipboard. It's in my office on the top of the desk in there. If there would ever be an incident, say at VBS or in a class, we want to make sure that we document it, because we did have a couple years ago where a parent had called and something had happened and it was an accident. It wasn't anything somebody had intentionally done, but then it was like, I didn't really know it had happened, so we had to kind of go digging. So this is just a way that we can be proactive and make sure that we have down what happened and when and how. So that form is in there, and again, you can just ask me and I can help you fill that out if needed. Then just some procedures that we would like to have in place down there at the bottom of page 11. The two-person rule, which again I had talked about, just making sure that we don't have one adult and one child alone in a room. Our nurseries are great with windows open. If one person, if there's two adults in there and somebody takes somebody to the bathroom, for that short amount of time, that's okay. There's windows. But just that's generally our goal when we are staffing or trying to do it in that way. We're trying to make sure that we have more than one person. The top of page 12, windows, doors, we have that in our classrooms here. No one under 18 would be in charge. Normally we will have an adult and a teen. Appropriate touch policies, I think most of you understand what that would mean. We have kids here that love to hug, and we'll run up and give you a hug, and that's great. A side hug, or if they initiate it, that's fine. We don't ever want to touch out of anger or frustration. And obviously there's age-appropriate things also as the kids get older. I did want to touch just on some diapering, bathroom activities. Normally we'll have two adults or an adult and a teen in the nursery. The adult should do the diaper changing if needed. We like to check their diaper before they get picked up. You can wear gloves that are in there. There's also hand sanitizer for afterwards. I think most of that are procedures that we've been following here. With restroom breaks, that can be one. Normally, once kids are old enough to go to the bathroom, they can pretty much do it themselves. If you stand at the door, allow them to go in. Now, if they do need help, you can help them and then help them wash their hands. Obviously, the older the children get, we just want to allow them to do as much of that as they can. If there is an emergency and you're running a kid to the bathroom, obviously do that. We don't want accidents. But just to allow them as much responsibility as they can. There at the bottom, then the discipline basics, use positive words, have rules and expectations. Communication is just a big one there, too. The majority of what we do here is with Bethel kids. We know the parents. We can talk to the parents, and if there ever are issues that we need to deal with, you're welcome to involve me if there's something more that needs to be done there. And then lastly, it just closes. Again, why is all this necessary? And I think the why is the important part of, I'm not just here and you're not just here today so we can check it off and go about, saying we did it. But we want to protect our kids. I want to equip you as volunteers to have the best time that you can here. Because of what has happened in this world and other churches and other places, it does make this necessary. We do want to be proactive. So you can kind of read that there as well. All right, so that finishes our P of our protect part. So I have a few gift cards up here. Hopefully you put your name in for the raffle. Last call if you didn't get your name in. Okay. Okay. No, you're good. All right, Brendan, you want to draw out our name? Just don't draw your own. Oh, wait, we got one more.
It's not mine.
Okay. Mix them all up. Amber Helt. So you can come up here and pick out a gift card. Yes. Okay, we did that, did our top 10, protect, travel. Oh. All right, so secondly, the L is for loving. And one of the, when I was kind of doing some research, looking through some stuff, I'm not sure if you have heard of the 414 window. This is basically some research that was done years ago that talks about the huge percentage of Christians that are saved during the ages of 4 and 14. This pie chart that I found, I like just because you can see the big yellow there. It says that that number is 85% of Christians are saved during those years. There's some other studies that it's like 68, but somewhere in there, the majority of Christians are saved during those years. And that's why it makes our job as a church so important, and that we want to spend the time training and learning how to teach these kids about Jesus. We don't want to just babysit them when they're here. We want to actually show them, even kids in the nursery. You can be singing songs to them. You can be praying over them while you're rocking them. And just every chance that we have with them here, we want to be having an impact on their life for eternity as much as we can. On page 8 in your packet, I included this, not that you necessarily have to follow this, but just as one way that we can love these kids is when we do have them in a classroom setting. This is a way that we can teach them rather than say, no, you can't do this, don't do this. But the I cans, I can stay safe. So we're teaching them, you know, about taking responsibility for themselves, having self-control. I can listen. I can learn. Even the youngest kids, the 2 and 3-year-olds, they can learn about Jesus. They can answer questions about their stories. It's so fun to have a kid run to you and they're so excited about what they're learning. I can respect, and again, that's having respect for themselves and for their teacher and their friends that are here. I can participate, and this looks different as they get older. You know, we have some boys as they get older. They don't want to show that they're participating, but they are still listening and they're still hearing the songs, and we want to make church be a fun place where everybody wants to come and participate. And then just kind of going along again with our baseball theme, you can use 3 strikes and you're out. That's something that a lot of kids would understand. But again, just keep that communication. If you are having an issue with a child that you are over, to talk to them, talk to their parent, talk to me. So again, that we want to keep this a safe and a fun place. All right, so we are about halfway done. Does anybody have any questions? No questions? Okay, then we're going to do another raffle because we are ready for our next play. Bethany, you can pick one out since you're close here. Faye Fagner. What did I saw her here? I'll even bring it to you because both the ones that are left are Dairy Queen, so you don't really have a choice. All right, so we've talked about protecting the children, loving them. The A, we want to talk about applying what we know, what we're learning. And if you'll look at pages 5 through 7, I've broken down the different age groups into nursery, kind of preschool, early elementary, and then our elementary kids. And you can see there in each group some characteristics of what that age group, kind of how they're developing. And then how does that look practically? Some areas of service available. So for our nursery, you know, we have nursery here in the mornings on Sundays during family night, mom to mom, during VBS, and other times we have a nursery available. And that is a huge ministry that if you're not a part of, I would love to get you plugged in, because it takes a lot of people to have two adults or an adult and a youth in each room every time. And we do that for the child's safety. We don't want babies who may just be starting on the floor to be in with twos and three-year-olds who they don't care about what's on the floor. They're just running and playing. So again, that takes a lot of people. So if you would be willing to serve, you know, a couple times a year in the nursery, definitely get with me and get on the list. Mom to Mom starts back up in September when Family Night does. And again, if you would have a few hours on a Wednesday morning, either once a month or twice a month, that's just a great way to welcome in new moms and to encourage them of, hey, we want to love on your kid. You know, we have great people who serve in that way, but that's kind of a ministry that is constantly turning over. And don't think, oh, well, it's going on, they don't need me because I haven't ever done it. We can use you, even if your name is just on a list that we call at the last minute. Again, just there's diapering, pottying things there, just some reminders, again, to protect you, but also to have some procedures in place. If you change a diaper, throw it in the trash can in that room, and we'll make sure that that's cleaned out of there. So our goals of the nursery: start to introduce the faith to babies and toddlers through play, music and movement, simple songs. Children learn that church is a safe and welcoming place, and volunteers model kind, compassionate, and nurturing behaviors as babies and toddlers learn and grow through their experiences and interactions. And again, when we're serving in the nursery, you are as much serving the parents and the family as you are those babies, because it is such a blessing to parents to be able to trust to leave their kid for an hour or two and get to worship and fellow fun and cuddle during that time. And then just the final reminder to have fun and cuddle view being in the nursery as just a fun experience when you get to rock, even if it is a crying baby. It's a short amount of time that we get them. They grow so fast that we get to just remind those beautiful babies how much they are loved by us and by God. If you flip over to the back, then our next age group is kind of the preschoolers. So, you know, these kids are starting to play and imagine, and they love Bible teaching and Bible stories, and they can answer your questions, but they love to maybe act it out or to color. And whatever they're doing, just look for ways to interact with them. You can see kind of there again, we have our Sunday mornings. They start having their own Sunday school class. They have a class during family night. Junior church is a big way that we minister to them, being a junior church helper, VBS, mom to mom. So again, that age group takes quite a few volunteers because there are a lot of them. They're busy. You know, we want to provide them with a safe place where they can sit and start to learn some of the goals there. We want to make the Bible fascinating through interaction and engaging storytelling. We want to facilitate natural development skills through hands-on activities, through play, help them start to form relationships with other friends here. I mean, Owen is three, and he loves his friends here at church, and he sees them outside of it, and so that helps him want to come here because he gets to play with those friends. So again, like, they're just starting to learn about what church is. It's not something I have to do, but I get to go and have fun, but I also get to learn about Jesus, and they're starting to learn about that God does have a plan for them, and he created them, and they can understand that at this age. And then the last one that we're going to look at is the elementary age. They start thinking more for themselves, having concrete thinking skills, logical skills. They have more of an attention span. We're hoping that's growing. They become aware of their individuality and uniqueness. And we can apply that when we're teaching them here at church. This becomes less play, although we still want it to be fun. We still want hands-on. But we're now starting to teach them more and ask them to respond. You know, don't just learn the story, but what does that mean to you? How are you applying that? What does Jesus mean to you? We want to create a safe place for them to start expressing their faith, an environment where they feel comfortable asking questions. We want to start, as they get older, providing them opportunities to serve in the church. And again, continuing to foster and encourage relationships and friendships. Again, you know, what we do here is more than just babysitting. We want to apply what we know and apply these different strategies to them at their age. Does anybody have any questions over any of this? Okay, we have one more raffle then. Jessica Leiby, come on down. All right, then our last is our why, which stands for yield. And as we wrap up kind of this training part of it, the learning, the putting some procedures in, this is just to kind of pause and remember that nothing we do is effective without Christ, that we can have the best plan in place, but even, you know, going along with the video and going along with what Tom said this morning, we need to yield to God's word. We need to yield to his will over the ministries and over, you know, the kids that are here and the volunteers. And so what I'd like us to do is to take just a few minutes, get with some people around you, and just spend a few minutes in prayer, just kind of praying over our year in children's ministry. I listed a few kind of annual things that we do. There are others, so you can pray over those. Pray over our volunteers. Pray, you know, for the kids that God will bring here, that as a Bethel that we are prepared and ready to serve them. So break up. You're going to have to actually get up, talk for just a few minutes, and then I will close our time together before we leave. Hopefully you are encouraged for the year ahead, whether it's serving or inviting new people here, that you can say, hey, here's what we've gone through. If you think about our VBS, when we have over 60 volunteers that help, or Trunk or Treat, where we call kind of everybody to come together and serve, to know that everybody's been trained and, you know, passed a background check and is ready to serve and love the kids that come in. The very last part of your packet is page 14. And if you notice, there are two pages that have the number 14. You need to decide if you are under the age of 18, you will take the first page that says youth volunteer application. Okay, so that is for our teen helpers that are not yet 18. They can fill this out. 18 or older, then you want the very last page, number 14. The first side is the background check. And again, I'm hoping to work locally. The state also will provide a free background check for churches, but it's kind of a process, a back and forth. I'm hoping that is the path we can go. And then all we would have to do is keep this on file, and every few years, it would just do a brief check again. So you would not have to fill this out every few years. That as long as we keep this on file, unless you tell us in writing, hey, I'm done, don't do that anymore, that would be our plan. So that although we'll continue the training, you won't have to refill this out every year. Yes. And I understand I don't get it either, because I have filled them out for schools and for safe families and for all these different places within the last year, but every institution is required to have their own. That's just the way it is. So, yes, unfortunately, even if you just have done it for somewhere else, we have to, as Bethel Bible Church, have that on our own record. Yes. And I have all of those that will be shredded, all of your old ones. I think it was about 3 years ago that we did that. But then we were going through a company, so the paper you signed 3 years ago was only authorizing that company to run your check. So, and then the backside, again, everybody needs to fill out the top part, just kind of reviewing some of this stuff. And then if you're not a member, you can fill out those last bottom questions. If you are a member, you have already said that you agree with the Bethel Bible Church's covenant and beliefs, so that's why that's a little bit different. All right, any other questions? 17 and under, so basically 6th grade through, yes. Because once they're in 6th grade, then they join youth group, and they're kind of under that umbrella of youth group, and there's just more opportunities where they are serving and over the younger kids. So, yeah, once they're in sixth grade up to age 17, they'll fill out the youth one. So you are welcome to fill this out right now and leave it with me. I'm going to keep track of those as they come in. If you don't want to do that, you can get it to me another time as well. Or if you have questions, if you would like to serve, if you are not plugged in somewhere on a Wednesday night, nursery, just see me and I'll kind of keep track of that as well. All right, so thank you all for coming, and we are done formally.